Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us, then email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, the Bulls are back.
Shameless is what I would call these new age Chicago Bulls. 113-109 winners at the New Orleans Pelicans.
You call them shameless. I call them back.
You say back. I say shameless because the Bulls showed no shame after giving up 46 points on 70% shooting in the first quarter that looked like, holy hell, this is what the rebuilding Bulls are going to look like. Just getting sliced apart by the Pelicans' offense in the first 12 minutes of the game. But also, they shot 35 three-pointers. And let's just say, without Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler around, that there's nobody yelling at any Chicago Bull when they shoot a shot as saying, you got to earn that shot, or you shouldn't be doing that, buddy. Hey, youngster, not your time. The Bulls fired 35 three-pointers. I think they shot 18 or 19 of them in the first 18 minutes of the game, basically. Just firing everything. The franchise record in a regular season game for most threes attempted in Bulls history is 40, and they shot 35 in this preseason game, and I thought they were going to get to 40. Not that it would have been an official record or anything, but this was something different. Definitely different.
Bobby Portis, 4 three-point attempts. Justin Holiday, 6 three-point attempts. Nico Mirotic, 8 three-point attempts. Denzel Valentine, 7 three-point attempts.
And let me tell you, Nico was shooting them. You know, he was shooting them quickly. We've criticized him at length through the years for his pump fakes and all his strikes with the ball and what's he going to do, you know. Nico got the ball, and if he was open, he fired. I actually thought he was, in my opinion, one of the negatives of the night, because it felt like same old Nico. He shot
right.
4 of 12 from the field. I know he had 9 rebounds, but there were a lot of shots in this game, too. So he did make a little bit more of a difference on the boards than his career averages. But like he still seemed inefficient offensively, which is exactly what he was when you shoot 4 of 12 from the field. But a lot of other positives for the Bulls when you go around this game. And look, they trailed by as many as 17 in this one, I think 15 early in the third quarter. And this was not a comeback solely because the Pelicans took out DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis played almost the entire third quarter.
Both of them played 33 minutes.
Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins played a chunk of the fourth quarter. Like
Rondo played 31 minutes. Drew Holiday played 30 minutes. They played their guy.
Yeah, like this comeback was mainly done when the Pelicans starters were on the floor. So this is a hard-earned, fair-earned W for the Bulls, and it just, this felt like, and it's one preseason game, I think we all know that, going to jump to conclusions, but it felt like hoi ball.
You know what it felt like?
What?
It felt like the Bulls are back.
What? Why are they back?
They're 1-0. Luckily for the Bulls, preseason victories don't count in the standings, because this would be a bad start to their lottery. But yeah, I mean, you're totally right, this did feel like hoi ball. Yeah, they were running, they were pushing the pace, they were shooting threes.
Yeah, they...
Everything they're doing, like, this is what Fred Hoiberg wants.
I don't have official box score for possessions for the Bulls in this game. I think that's some high-level databases I don't have access to or are not easily found on most box scores. But if you use the rudimentary equation formula to add them up, around 103 possessions for the Bulls, which I think last year the league leader, was it the Nets or someone, was around like 103.7 or just shy of 104. So a little uptick in pace. And you watched the game and it felt like that too. There were some stretches in the third quarter where it really felt like that, I thought. Like the Bulls were down at half but outscored the Pelicans, I think, by 10 in the third quarter. And Denzel Valentine walked into a three-pointer really quickly, early in a possession. Chris Dunn, I don't know if it was third quarter or fourth quarter, had a really good play where he stole the ball cross-court and in one motion on his steal and a pass and an assist. I guess it's a hockey assist because there's another pass after that, created a two-on-one for the Bulls. So it did feel like there was more action in this Bulls game by way of the ball moving. And look, we're going to talk about this at length, and the Bulls are going to be worse because they don't have Jimmy Butler, but I do expect the offense to be more egalitarian, I guess, and that was reflected. I think 8 guys in double figures here. 15 was their highest score. Big Chris with 15.
That's right.
For the Bulls, but I mean, they had a lot of guys with 12 points, 14 points, 10 points. Like,
Cody,
this
you need
is
to take
Fred wants.
You need to take a victory lap. Jerry and Grand Island is looking pretty good right now. I think there's a lot of inquiries into real estate and the marketing. You got to decide who gets
just
on.
Keep
it
complimenting
or not.
Me. I want to soak it in. Just
you got to be this one who decides who gets to be on the island with you.
I mean, I think I was the only. I know there's many Locked On Bulls listeners who are diehards who still believed in him. I have not in the last like 9 months, basically since Jaren. Except for the times that he got to stand by Jimmy and shoot wide-open three-pointers for a stretch as a starting point guard. I haven't heard many people publicly with big platforms in the media promote and be a member of Jaren Grand Island. And I'm a member of Grand Island, and he was a playmaker. He had 9 assists in this game. Like, that felt like a big deal, because what have we been saying for a while? Like, do the Bulls even have any playmakers outside Zach LaVine?
Is their best
hurt?
Playmaker Denzel Valentine, who's not a point guard?
Yeah, and Jaren, it should be noted he got a surprise start here. Like, we all expected Chris Dunn to start. Why did we expect that? Because the Bulls had kind of hinted at that, and they sold the franchise player for a deal that revolved around him. I know there are 2 other more important pieces than Dunn actually in the deal, but Chris Dunn's the guy the Bulls were absolutely enamored and in love with in 2016 draft when they didn't rebuild.
And Hoiberg said this morning that Dunn is going to start tomorrow night in Dallas.
Yeah, in the second preseason game. So, Grant Hoiberg pregame cited basically his good work ethic. He thought he showed some leadership and just what he'd done all summer. And I mean, being an incumbent and being around those guys probably helped a little bit. I don't think it matters a ton, but in the big picture. But for Grant, I feel like it's got to be a confidence booster, right? Because this is a guy that got jerked in and out of the lineup last year. Another one of those guys who could go from playing 30 minutes in a game and starting to playing like 2 minutes the next game, like not even having a role at any point in the night when the game was on the line. And I thought he handled it professionally at all times last year, but he also didn't lie to us and be like, oh yeah, I'm not disappointed. Like, he kind of admitted, you know, it's hard, I'm a little disappointed. Yeah. So for this to happen, confidence boost kind of has to happen for him, I would think.
Especially because he didn't go into the season as the favorite to be the starter. Yeah. If he, like, you know, Hoiberg said at Media Day, the only starting spot that's solidified is Robin Lopez, but we've all just kind of assumed, yeah, okay, Chris Dunn is going to be the guy. But if Jaren keeps playing like this, like, he might actually, you know, make a challenge for it.
Yeah, he had 11 points, shot 4 or 5 from the field, made both of his three-pointers a team high, plus 15. Not that plus-minus is the be-all, end-all. But
especially in a preseason game.
Yeah, but I mean, it's reflective of usually that you were playing better than others on that night on the floor, or being a difference maker for your team when you were out there. To an extent, obviously, we don't put too much weight in it, but he just looked comfortable. Like, it wasn't rocket science either. Like, he got the ball, he made decisive moves off the bounce, and either he went strong to the hole, or he made a decisive move and quickly passed the ball to keep it going. And, you know, some of that was helpful because the next guy in line, when he threw him the ball, was ready to shoot, because every Bull has the green light. Is it? That's my understanding. Do I? I don't
these
know.
Guys
if
all, these guys are
going to
be firing. These guys are going
to
be firing.
I don't know if we need to confirm this with Fred, but I feel like every Bull has a green light. There was a shot where Justin Holiday, if you weren't careful, because he had a Bulls uniform on. I know. I think he's 28 now.
Yeah, he's 28.
But he kind of has that look of like Kobe did, like physically, not as a player, but like physically of Kobe, like a young Kobe Bryant, like a 22 or 23-year-old Kobe. When he still let the hair grow out a little bit, you know? And he hit that fadeaway shot from the right wing with, like, pretty much had no business shooting it. They still had a little time on the shot clock to probably get a better shot, and he made it. And I'm just like, what is this Bulls era?
If you don't look too closely, this is like an alternate history of what would have happened if Kobe had been traded to the Bulls in 2007.
No, I told you this. This is This is playground basketball, it felt like early on, if the other team had the first five draft picks in the playground game. But then the Bulls rallied with, like, their third grade squad against the fourth or fifth graders. You know what I mean? Like, they came up big in this one. So, Holiday played well, too. And I look at him and Robin Lopez and even Paul Zipser. They all played solid basketball in this game. I don't think anything surprised me. Like, we know Paul Zipser's going to play solid defense. We know if he's wide open, he can knock down a three-point shot. We know exactly what Robin Lopez is going to provide night in and out. We haven't seen Justin Holiday, obviously, since his last stint with the Bulls a whole lot.
How about Antonio Blakeney?
We know he's a player. Yeah. That's
6 points.
That's a guy. That's a summer league hero.
Attacking. He's a two-way. That, you know, he was impressive at the summer league to sign him a two-way deal, so he's going to probably spend most of the year in the G League.
Two-way contract, one-way player, I would put it right now. Not defense, not Antonio's strong suit, and by that I mean he's not good at it right now.
No,
he's bad for the most part.
He's not good.
He moves really well. I mean, this guy is an athletic dynamo, it feels like. But he had the go-ahead layup to put him up 1 point with, I think, 50 seconds left, and it was one of those that was in not like a one-on-one transition type game, but it was like kind of a semi-break, semi-transition, one-on-two attack where he sliced between defenders and probably could have pulled it out or left it for a trailer, and instead he just elevated between two guys and didn't dunk it, but, I mean, he was above the rim, and it was a really easy shot. Like, that's the look you want, you know? You want a guy who, if you're going to be the Bulls and push the ball in transition, like, Paul Zipser's probably not going to be the transition finisher. You know what I mean? You want a guy at times out there, and they don't play the same position whatsoever here, Blakeney and Paul Zipser. But, like, you hope to have guys in the mold of an Antonio Blakeney who can finish like that dynamically. And I don't know exactly who else that is on the Bulls. Jaren Grant can throw down some big dunks at times. I feel like we saw those a little more in college than the NBA, but we do know he has some athleticism. Chris Dunn, I think, could be that guy. He was fine. He was good. Like, he wasn't great, but
Zach LaVine comes back.
Yeah. Well, yes. Excellent point. Thank you for reminding me of that. I was locked in this game a little bit, but yeah,
Felicio's
like, that's going to be
guy
huge.
Who can dunk. Got some dunks.
What's that?
Felicio's got some dunks.
Yeah, he got beat down the floor the one time by the Pelicans big man. Who was it? Was it Diallo? I think
it was Cheick Diallo.
Yeah. So I think he might have just been tired, but Chris needs to be a guy. Look, there's no reason with that big man rotation for the Bulls that Chris Felicio needs to play like 34 minutes. He needs to go out there and like run his butt off for like 26 or 7. You know what I mean? Like, beat everyone down the floor every time you can, even if you do it in shorter increments, because once Markkanen is healthy and he's not expected to play Wednesday night as he continues to deal with back spasms. But once he gets healthy, they're going to have four or five guys in that rotation, obviously in the big man. For two spots, five guys. So he needs to beat him down the floor every time. I thought, what did you think of Dunn, Chris Dunn? Like, I thought he was fine. I mean, it was nothing crazy, but you saw some flashes. But you also, his ball handling was a little wayward at times, like a little out of sync.
Yeah, he threw some kind of out of control passes. There were times where I felt like, you know, he needs to tighten that up a little bit. But yeah, you know, he looked like he belonged on the floor. It didn't. There wasn't anything like, because he struggled in summer league, and obviously he wasn't very good last year with the Timberwolves. He looked like, you know, there's something there. There are flashes there where you can feel like, okay, you know, maybe this guy is going to develop into a decent starting point guard. Like, you can, there are at least things you can point to there where you can be like, okay, there's something here.
All in all, I think this was a phenomenal opening preseason game for the Bulls, and I don't say that because they won by four. I say that because you go down the list of players and you're like, wow, like, 9 of these 11 guys or 8 of these 10 guys played well. You know what I mean? And like, this is the prism, player development every night. Is this guy showing stuff?
Yeah, and
that's what we felt.
And they're not going to be pulling out these wins every single night. Like, they're like in a regular season game, Anthony Davis would play more than 33 minutes. DeMarcus Cousins would play more than 33 minutes. Like, this is like, and I, you know, that first, like, Casey Johnson from the Trib was tweeting during the game a question: are the Bulls going to be worse offensively or worse defensively? I feel like the clear answer is defensively. Like, the first half,
yeah,
they put up 69 points in the first half, 46 in the
first
quarter.
Talk.
Like, that's. I mean, they were able to pull back and win in the second half, but like that's going to be a thing during the season. We're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah, look, like, you know, there's two prisms to look at this through. The Pelicans shot 40% over the final three quarters of the game, and the Bulls' defense was fine. You know, like, that's part of the reason they came back from 17 down. The first quarter, though, I just felt like that's going to be how the season hedges. Not 46-point first quarters every night or 46 point quarters every night. But I mean, it was just pretty much a layup line, an open three-pointer anytime the Pelicans want. The Bulls have no rim protection, really. Robin Lopez is a big body and some rim protection, and that's it, pretty much. Felicio is a better pick-and-roll defender than he is a rim defender,
right?
In my opinion. And maybe he can develop more, and I know he has flashes at times where he can deter at the rim or have good help block and stuff like that. So it's there in him. But largely speaking, generally speaking, there is very, very little interior defense for the Bulls. And when you look at last year, I think, did the Bulls end up... I know they were at least top 10 in defensive efficiency, or right on the border, and they were like top 7, I think, for much of the year, actually. Weren't they, or something like that? Or they were 10 and they hopped to 7 or something?
They finished the season 6th.
Yeah.
But then you have to take into account that game against Brooklyn and the game against Orlando right at the end of the year.
The Bulls' defensive efficiency was fine last year, but you have to remember how important and vital Taj Gibson was to that until the trade deadline.
Right.
And I know, obviously, down the stretch there, they did hop up a little bit. So they were doing fine without Taj, too, but...
They also traded Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, exactly. Big point there. But as it pertains to interior defense, and look, Jimmy, I mean, he was good at interior defense, too, helping out. And actually, like, the best thing Dwayne Wade did defensively was, like, recover from a guard position. Like, he's one of the all-time, like, chase-down blockers. Like, the only thing he would do last year for the Bulls defensively, like, the thing he would do best is probably try to go block shots of big men for a highlight reel play. And maybe, we'll never know, maybe that was a deterrent or something. But no, like, I feel like it's going to be really troublesome for the Bulls. And I've raised the question, and we've talked about this, like, are they going to be worse at offense or defense? And I brought up this, and I said the 122-point-per-game plan all along the Bulls, like, just allow that every night and you'll get the number one overall, number two overall draft pick. But I also mentioned how bad this offense going to be with Zach LaVine out. Well, I think this game was a reminder that if you run Fred Hoiberg's system and just do what he wants,
and you don't
by
have
the way,
one guy who's so ball dominant like Jimmy Butler or Dwayne
and you
Wade.
Have all these guys with a little bit of confidence and pushing the ball and not afraid to shoot three-pointers. And look, the Bulls went 16-35. That's a really good clip shooting percentage-wise. They're not going to do that every night. But I think a Hoiberg offense will still find a way to put up points. You know, like, through the ups and downs, like, when you're weighing which unit's going to be worse, I just think we need to keep in mind, Hoiberg's offense is going to find a way, I think, to put up points. And the defense, I don't think, when push comes to shove, is going to find a way to ever get stops when it matters. And I think they're going to get shredded for long stretches. And I think that's what we saw early. And I think that's what we'll see often this year. And I pity the product we might watch when they trade Robin Lopez in January or February and have absolutely no interior.
You guys as listeners are going to have to help us come up with a lot of gimmicks, a lot of running jokes, a lot of segments, a lot of just things cause to get us through the season, because this is going to be a whole lot of really awful basketball we're going to be watching.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not there with you. I think it's going to be awful defense. I didn't think that was awful basketball to watch, like, oh, I was more entertained.
Well, right, but during this preseason game, you can look at it and say, it's going to get ugly. There's going to be stretches. There's going to be back-to-backs. There's going to be times where...
I think the aesthetics of watching the Bulls play offense is going to be better. I don't know how it will always finish, how they'll always finish possessions, because, again, they're not going to shoot 46% from three-point range, but there was just... A lot more ball holding last year, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, didn't every game almost feel like a script last year sometimes? Like, first quarter, Robin Lopez's job is to score 10 or 12 points on 4 hook shots and 3 wide open jump shots, you know? And then it's like, and then the second unit comes in and we let Rajon Rondo push the ball a ton here late in the first quarter.
And then
it's Jimmy Butler pick and roll in the second quarter to get his teammates involved. And then it's Dwayne Wade, some pick and roll. And then it's the Dwayne and Jimmy show. And eventually it devolves in the second half. This is me paraphrasing and making sweeping proclamations. But I think everyone who watched Bulls basketball last year will agree, like...
Well, sweeping proclamations are the best kinds of proclamations.
Yeah, that's true. Like, sweeping conclusions there. But I think you get the feel of that. Mm-hmm. Like, there were just chunks of the game where, like, okay, Jimmy's going to have some possessions here to do it his way, bully to the hoop and get to the line. I don't think you're going to see that this year. Like, it's going to be a much more egalitarian offensive system, and... Like, who knows? We know Zach LaVine will probably average... I mean, that's probably the safest bet on the Bulls is that he averages the most points per game. But who averages the second most is probably up for grabs. That's actually a really good question. Bull who averages the second most points per game this season?
Well, judging from the first preseason game, it's going to be Big Chris, right?
It could be. I don't think so. Justin Holiday?
I kind of think Justin Holiday might
be Denzel Valentine?
A little bit of a sleeper.
I mean, Denzel's going to shoot... and look, he shot in this game and met 4 of 7 from 3-point range. He was 4 of 8 from the field. So, like, he shot one shot inside the arc. He didn't really play make for others. And he didn't get to the rim. Like, it just, it felt like last year where he's just a spot-up shooter again. So, like, and there's 5 preseason games left. Like, I want to see him make plays, too. And look, they won. Jaren Grant was making plays in this game. But I think that's a goal the Bulls should just... That's something you'd like to see in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like anything else stand out to you in this game? Good, bad, ugly, funny, segments, anything?
I enjoyed Jarrell Eddy just pulling up for three in transition.
Yeah, oh, the semi-transition one? Where,
yeah.
Well, he also had the dagger that he made. I think he missed that one you're referring to.
Well, wait, the box score says he shot 1 for 1 from the field. That's not accurate.
It can't be.
No, because he had the one he missed.
No, he had the dagger, and he had the one he missed.
Yeah.
What more do you want from the man? But I'm trying to think here. Oh, Rajon Rondo talked earlier today. That's what we couldn't forget. He spoke to Casey Johnson of the Tribune. Rondo, obviously, on the Pelicans now. Addressed his exit from the Bulls, and he said that he had a feeling all along that he'd get waived, is what he said. He felt like from the jump that he'd get waived. So that day that... They had the season-ending press conference, and John Paxson said
that there was
it was
a good
likely
chance.
A good chance that they would bring Rondo back. Rondo was never buying it, which is honestly why Rondo was smarter than all of us. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's one thing, like, I put myself back in the moment. I don't know if I'm the president of the basketball operations forum is saying there's a good chance. You just relay his words, but we've also, for 2 straight off seasons now, kind of had... then pull one over us by going the opposite direction of what they say. And look, when they say it, I don't know that the Bulls don't all, they never know what they're going to do when they say things because they have no idea how the next month or two or three is always going to play out. So it's not like they were completely lying on the surface, but it's just their word doesn't always tend to hold a lot of weight in the moment in which they say it. Well, Rondo was never buying that they were going to come back. He also, Dwayne Wade, I like this too. Dwayne Wade put forth the belief that if Rondo didn't get hurt, the Bulls would have beat the Celtics, and if the Bulls upset the top-seeded Celtics, that management would have run back the Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo show. When informed of this, Rajon Rondo told Casey that he didn't really think about that, or didn't think that was the case. He basically said he disagreed with that assessment, which is just classic Rondo. Just classic Rondo.
Rondo always says exactly what he thinks. He's never going to lie to you. That's why he was so much fun to cover.
I know, like... I'm with Rondo on that one. Do you think...
We're Team Rondo about most things.
Yeah, but if they had beat the Celtics, were they going to run that back? I don't think so.
I think for as much criticism as the Bulls front office takes, I think they knew that team wasn't actually that good. And even if they had beaten Boston in the first round, that wouldn't change how that team wasn't actually that good.
Yeah, and again, like, look, the Celtics had a great year last year, but again, that was... You don't see number one seeds get completely blown up by a smart front office if they're dominant. So that was their concession that team wasn't really that dominant and had overextended themselves, really, and probably wasn't a number one seed type team. So I think the Bulls were aware of that as well, that wasn't really them competing at the highest level. And I'm not even talking about Warriors level. I'm just talking about even competing at the highest level close to it in the Eastern Conference
sure.
in that series. But... I think that takes care of most of the storylines.
What do you think about the All-Star changes?
Oh, I love them.
I'm
I love
them. I'm totally in.
Fill them in.
So basically, the NBA announced today that they're changing up the format of the All-Star game in an attempt to make it more competitive. And so basically what's going to happen is the top two vote getters, the top vote getter in each conference, is going to be a team captain, and they get to pick from the other, I think, 22, 23, 24 pool of players who were the top vote getters, and regardless of conference. So it's going to be two team captains. I'm assuming it's going to be like LeBron and Steph probably as the two top vote getters, and they get to just pick teams out of the rest of the pool. I really hope they televise the draft. If the NBA is smart, they'll televise the draft. They have to.
Oh, they have to do it in front of the media somehow. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's half the fun. Like, that's a ratings banana.
Unfortunately, our friend Jeff Zilgit from USA Today tweeted that he thinks that they're going to do it behind closed doors and the players aren't going to, they're not going to know what order anybody was picked, which I think is a mistake. You got to have that, because you got to have the pettiness.
That might have the biggest ratings of the NBA regular season.
I agree.
That might have the biggest ratings of anything besides the NBA Finals.
Another note that Zilgit made today was that Michael Jordan, who was the owner of the Hornets, was a big...
Michael Jordan? Who's that?
Well, he's famous for two things. He was the owner of the Hornets, and he was also a guy who cried at
crying
the ceremony one time, and then he
crying
like,
about
I mean,
crying about the All-Star configuration.
Right, the crying meme guy. So was apparently a big driver in making this change. And that's just making me think, what if they had had this when he was a player? First of all, how petty would he have gotten with the picks?
MJ would have, like, three people on his team and played, like, four on each team.
Would he have just, like, not picked Scottie Pippen because he was mad at him one year or something? Like,
That's why this would be incredible if, like, there's some guy who barely sneaks on as the 12th man in one of the conferences. And look, The 12 guys from each conference get picked the same way. The media and fans and players pick the starters, and then the coaches pick the reserves. And then it's the draft after that. But, like, there's going to be a guy who just sneaks on, like, the 24th fringe guy that's an all-star. And LeBron out there picking him over Kyrie, and Kyrie's having, like, the best first half of his career. You know what I mean? Like, there'll be Draymond Green out there. Like, could LeBron switch it up and pick Draymond, like, first overall, or... You think that
I don't know if there's a little bit of bad blood there still because of the stuff from the finals.
I mean, is the East going to pick? I mean, the Warriors will probably have three, four guys.
Five. If it's by vote, Zaza's going to be on there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, no.
Well, Andy Iguodala will probably be on there, too.
No, Zaza's not going to make it. No way.
If it's by voting...
No, he didn't get it last year.
But they changed up the voting last year. I feel like they're going to... Did they say they're going to do it with media voting this year?
Yeah, it's the same format, my understanding from the past.
Okay, so they put the Zaza proofing in there.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're running whatever they got to do to make sure if it's rigged that it doesn't look rigged.
Here's a bold prediction. This isn't one of our Bulls bold predictions, which you should still send us, but I have an All-Star bold prediction.
Okay.
Lonzo Ball is going to be one of the people that gets picked.
Oh. Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
You know I'm on the Lonzo bandwagon. I was early on the Lonzo bandwagon in Jaren Grant Island, were my two real estate territories. I had an island, and I had a vehicle to drive. I didn't have a boat, though. I couldn't get to Jaren Grant Island with my bandwagon there. You know what I mean? So.
So, are you a big baller, though?
No.
Are you going to get the LaMelo shoes?
Not going to get the LaMelo shoes. Is he the one that LeVar pulled from school?
Yeah.
Just I'm not
16 with a Lamborghini and a signature shoe.
It has nothing to do with me not being able to afford the shoes. It has everything to do with the principle of me believing LeVar pulling his son out of high school isn't the right thing to do.
Okay.
On principle, not out of, you know, not.
Okay. I think they need to make LeVar Ball one of the team captains for the All-Star game.
No. We need players, because I think you mentioned this. There'll be pettiness about it. That's what we need.
I want to know what would happen. Like, how will LeBron react if he somehow isn't one of the captains?
Well,
he's going to have the most passive-aggressive Instagram post of all time.
Well, I mean,
he does that.
I mean, that's going to be largely up to fans, and I think media will make sure he's a captain. I mean, it's basically the most fan votes gets captain, and the others get... The voting has to do with the starters, so...
Right.
Like, I think LeBron knows he's going to win the popularity contest. He has probably two or three times as many followers on Twitter as any other NBA player, basically. Like, he's going to win the popularity contest. There's no doubt about that.
Are we worried that, like, Dwayne Wade is going to, like, make it on this year despite being, like, the seventh man on the Cavs?
We are not worried about that.
We're not. I kind of am. I kind of feel like that's going to happen.
There's no way. D-Wade couldn't make the team last year when he was, like, the number two offensive guy in the Bulls, and he got close. There's no way when he takes a tertiary role on
the team that LeBron is on is on national TV all the time.
Yeah, there's no way. The East, okay, well, the East is garbage. You're right about that. But, yeah, they did get Gordon Hayward. So they did add an all-star when they shipped out Paul George.
They added an all-star.
They shipped out Jimmy Butler. Who else am I missing?
Carmelo.
They shipped out three all-stars.
Millsap.
Oh, boy. So that's like three spots open, one of which Hassan Whiteside thinks he's going to get, but I don't know that anyone else believes that quite yet.
I think Paul Zipser is probably going to get one of them. Lauri Markkanen is going
to
get one.
You know how I know when it's time to end the podcast when you're talking about Paul Zipser in the All-Star voting after he went for like 10 points in the Bulls preseason opening win over the
double Pelicans. Figures.
Then something like that. But Bulls in Dallas on Wednesday night. I think we'll have the podcast next one for you on Thursday
afternoon. With bold predictions and some game analysis.
Yeah, we'll throw out the good stuff at you. Please send us your bold predictions. We have like
we've got some
probably five or six good ones from the readers. They're not completely we want them to be hot take and bold, like just the right
but also still
recipe
like,
of both.
Like we don't want like the Bulls are gonna make the conference finals this year. Like that's too hot of a take.
Yeah,
but
that,
like,
I need...
But, like, if you want to say, like, Lauri Markkanen is going to win Rookie of the Year, like, that's acceptable.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's got to be a level of logic in them. And then I like you to get creative. Something you believe in.
You guys have been coming through so far with some good ones, so keep
pretty,
them coming. Got a couple more days.
We've had some really good ones and some really bad ones.
Cody and I will come up with our own.
As always, follow Sean on Twitter, at Hykin, myself, at Cody Westerland. Follow Locked On Bulls on Twitter and Facebook by its name. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any questions, with your hot takes and bold predictions, and any advertising inquiries as well. Most of all, please subscribe and follow the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Check out Locked On Pelicans if you want their perspective on this game that just happened tonight. My buddy Jake Madison runs that. Yeah, you should check that out. But other than that, yeah, we'll be back with you Thursday. Bold predictions coming up. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.